So I'd like you to come on a little journey with me this morning. It's probably going to sound a little odd, but every time that I looked to the Lord this morning, it was very strange. Nothing was normal. So I don't know how this message is going to come out, but it's probably not going to be anything normal. So you bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you that your anointing will break the yoke of fear, doubt, unbelief, and all the things that plague us as men and women of God. And I ask that you would open our ears, open our eyes, spiritual eyes, and natural eyes, that we could see and hear what your Spirit is really speaking. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The first area that I'm going to be giving you is in 2 Peter. I'd like to remind you that there's a need for us to understand who we are in Christ and why we are different. And I'd like to start off with verse 3.
What chapter?
Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I guess we'll get there. Verse 3. There's a heading in the NIV that says, making one's calling and election sure. Making one's calling and election sure. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's quite a statement. Now, for this reason, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To add to your faith. To add to my faith. Now, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Verse 8 says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, not sustained measures, but in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. How many of you have ever forgotten that you were cleansed? And for me, part of what God was showing me is, yesterday at the leaders' meeting, there was a lot of different things that were spoken by the different pastors. And there was an anointing that came, and it was very, very special. And all of a sudden, one man gave out a percentage of this, but he pointed out one truth, and I'd like to share it with you. And that truth is that Peter was there when all of hell broke loose to try to stop the Savior from doing what he was commissioned to do. He also was there to declare to him that he was going to be there for him and be there with him, but couldn't do it. Amen? And Jesus prophesied that he would fail. I mean, what kind of a leader would prophesy your failure? What kind of a leader would you like to prophesy that you're going to deny him? What kind of a leader is he that says, you will deny me? And all the others agreed, no way. We're all going to be faithful. And failed. Every one of them. Now Peter lived through that experience. He also lived in the season of restoration. Did he have faith that he would be restored?
Peter?
Yeah, Peter. Did he have faith that he would be restored? How many think he had faith to be restored? How many believe he didn't have any faith that he was going to be restored? I got it. Not getting any hands.
Don't know.
Think about his words. Jesus shows up. He's made breakfast. Peter's in the boat or out of the boat, naked, whatever, running. Get away from me. Right or wrong?
Right.
Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Did he forget what the whole purpose of the cross was? He must have. Because his words are saying, don't even come close to me. Right? I mean, I'm a sinful man. Did he forget that Jesus had already told them? Okay? Verse 9. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Was Jesus aware that the crucifixion was really the Passover, and the Passover lamb was Christ Jesus? If he had never lived it, he wouldn't have been able to write it down. Yes or no?
Yes.
See, when I live through something, I can write it down and it has value and it has quality and it has intensity. Yes or no? But if I'm talking about your experience, it's so wonderful to hear your major victory. But I never lived it. Peter is capable of ministering this letter because he lived it. And he was what? See, he's telling us. Nearsighted and blind. Am I so nearsighted that I don't see the potential that God has already placed in me by faith in his abilities rather than my own? See, I question the Lord sometimes. I say, Lord, you know, other churches are growing. What are we doing? We're being squished. Yes? And we're being squeezed for a reason. I said, Lord, what are you doing? So I'm giving you an experience. What is the experience that you are and I are living in to be able to help down the road those who are going to be needing that help? What is it that he's doing in us, that he's purposing to do in us, that he has not done in other areas? Because you are the elect. Making one's calling and election sure. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. To participate in the divine nature. Did Peter get to participate in the divine nature? When he realized that he was still loved after he goofed royally. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Even after a royal goof, Jesus is saying, I love you. Would you feed my lambs? Would you feed my sheep? Would you educate the ones that are falling apart down the road? Will you have faith in them to succeed in spite of their tests, in spite of their pain, in spite of their self-rejection, in spite of their short and nearsightedness, or their blindness? Have you ever warned somebody and giving them instruction and say, you know, unless you change, you're going to get yourself in some deep, deep problem. And they went ahead and did it anyway. How many have ever had a kid do that? Warn an animal. Don't go there. Tell the pooch to sit down and he just does just the opposite. Tell a kitty cat, don't go put your nose there. And what do? Put their nose exactly where you told them not to. Why? Are they nearsighted and blind? Well, they are to your instruction. Was Peter nearsighted and blind? Were the 11 in the same boat? Yes. How much of that is still on me? And what kind of faith and what kind of power do I need to get out of it? What changed and impacted this man that couldn't stand being identified with the Messiah?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, and what else? See, he got forgiven and Jesus gave him that fullness of what? Restoration, right? So as he was restored, was he still able to preach? Acts chapter 2 is the answer. What happened to Peter?
Powerful.
Ah, the power came, the connection was made, the sparks flew. He was connected. He was connected to the power source. The Holy Spirit. If I remember correctly, he preached one sermon and 3,000 were baptized. Are you ready to handle 3,000 next week? Can God fill this place next week?
Yes.
Are you ready to minister and lay hands on 3,000 next week?
Only by the power of
God. See what I'm after? I'm trying to tell you the elect have to be prepared. I didn't know, didn't do the math, but I'm sure that if we had to handle 3,000 next week, divided by 10, how would that work? Okay, are you ready for 300 in? Can you handle 300 for next weekend?
By God's grace.
By God's grace. Marianne, you ready for 300?
By God's grace.
By God's grace. Financier? Financier? Are you ready?
I'll make it 600.
He's going to handle 6. Good. All right. See, there's one that took faith. One took faith and said, I'll make it 6. Good news. What I'm trying to make us aware of is unless the Father builds this house, it's going to be useless. If He doesn't do something miraculous to prepare us, we will not be able to follow when He does bring in what He wants. I went to Toronto many years ago. And I can remember the people who began to minister to us in one of the conferences. And one of the gentlemen and his wife had a little teaching session about this size in the afternoon, and we went. And they both said together that they were overwhelmed because one Sunday it was a normal church, and by the following Sunday it was a radical church. Radical. They didn't know what to do or how to do it. They had so many hundreds of people flying in from all over the world, they couldn't figure out what to do next and how to do it. They had to do it by faith and by grace. One of the reasons I believe that God is preparing New England is because New Englanders are available for whatever kind of weather we get. Spiritually, emotionally, and I mean spiritual weather, because the principalities and the powers that are operating in this area are not the same as they are in the rest of the country. If you were to go to the Midwest and invite somebody to come over and minister into New England, many of them years ago wouldn't even ask you if you would take care of them. They would just tell you outright, no way. When you leave this area and you drive back or you fly back, you get to know what I'm talking about. I can remember two trips that I made with a few of you to go see Tim Clement near the Boston area. Both times, he got hit so hard, he couldn't minister. What does that tell you? And I'm not trying to pick on this man or anything else. What I'm trying to make you aware of is his divine power has given us everything we need. How did Peter get that divine power? For life. His divine power has given me everything I need. His divine power. How? It had to be such an impact that we, when we received the Holy Spirit, we got what? A deposit. A deposit's not the full payment, is it? No. And you know, when we get to know that we've only had a deposit, it gives you an understanding that unless you go for more, you're going to stay with just a small amount. Are you going to be satisfied with that small amount? We had a financial report last week. And yes, it was good, and all that good stuff. But how many are satisfied with what we've had? No. We want more. Why do we want more? Because more brings on responsibility. More brings on all kinds of things. You're going to have faith and a higher degree of faith to go higher. Unless you decide to remain where you are and be satisfied with who you are and the way you are. This may sound a little bit strange, but I remember one time I was down in North Carolina, and there was a beautiful teacher that was teaching us. And his comment went like this: are you ready to meet your maker? And almost every hand went up. And he said, Some are called to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And the works of the Holy Spirit working in each one of these. Are you walking as an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist, or a man or woman under the anointing of the works that God has orchestrated and ordained for you to walk in? And if you aren't walking in it, and you should go home tomorrow, God's going to look at you and say, I gave you an ability to prophesy, and you were so fearful, you did nothing. Go and walk and be obedient to the place that you can now walk into. Sit under the judgment seat because you were ordained to do this and you didn't do it. Looked at another. You were ordained to be a teacher, and what did you do? You decided to put all your gifts in your teacher's little desk or pouch or whatever, and decided you weren't going to use them because you were afraid to be judged. You were afraid to speak. So you served fear. Receive now what's been prepared for you. See, and when I listened to that, I said, Lord, I have no idea what's inside of me, but I do know this. It's more than what I've done. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, whatever's inside of me,
Lord, whatever's inside of me,
I want it to be manifesting.
I want it to be manifesting.
How you've elected me to do. And to be. In the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ.
An apostle. A prophet, an evangelist,
a
pastor,
or
a teacher,
or
works of good, or good works, prepared in advance for me, for me to do in the body of Christ, and on the job, in my neighborhood, wherever I am. I need to be completed by the divine power of the Holy Spirit just for me. Was Peter capable of saying that he did the best he could with what he knew when he met his Maker? I believe he did. Because he cooperated according to the grace that was given to him. Did he make mistakes again, even after he was restored? I believe he did. Because he was human. But did he forget that all his sins had been forgiven? I believe he didn't forget, because he wrote it down. He wrote it down so that he would never again forget that he was a man forgiven of his sin, and was able to walk in righteousness by faith and complete his journey according to the giftings and callings that were in him. And he depended on the Lord to add these things to him. What did he add? Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness and love. How does that apply for me tomorrow morning when I go to get out of bed? How does that put me to the task of obedience? I believe that as I get up in the morning and I do the effort of crying out to the Lord, whatever you want me to do today, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever I need to complete, Lord, give me the grace. And sometimes, yes, there'll be shouts of grace to the mountain of human obstacles. and all the unbelief that's still working in me, trying to tell me, I'll never complete you. God can't complete you because you disobeyed, and you did this, and you did that. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your callings and elections sure. Your callings are one thing. Your elections are that which have already been established. Callings is something that, yes, you've been called to become. Your election is what you've already what? What's the difference between the two? What is a calling? I have a calling to become a what? Could be apostle, could be prophet, could be teacher, could be whatever. How about the election? It's when it's been confirmed and reconfirmed and you already know that you're walking in it. Yes? Yes. Now, am I an accomplished pastor? Is that election a reality? Yes, I believe that I have already crossed that border. But do you know something? I walked for many years trying to accomplish the next level to be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And I can remember the pressure tactics that were operating before I actually obeyed. And how many times I questioned the Lord. Have I done the homework? Are you an elected businessman, sir? Or are you called to be a businessman? Called, are you accomplished? I think you are. Because you're doing the work. You are in the business community. You are actually doing some of the work. Now, are you completed in it? I'm not completed in my calling either. I believe I'm still in progress. I'm a work in progress. And all of us are. Okay? But you're doing the work. Think about what I'm saying to you. The giftings and the callings that are in you, they're of God. He will add to those things and perfect those things as you go forward in obedience. That's His process. The Holy Spirit will empower you to go to the next level once you've completed your journey. Close your eyes for a moment. See, there's fivefold ministries: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Okay? Or I said it wrong, but you got the point. Works and good works that have been prepared for each of us to do. He cannot give you more responsibility until you step out in faith and do the work. And if you haven't been able to do it, all you got to do is ask for mercy and grace. Because that's His desire, for you to complete your journey according to the giftings and callings that are in you. You know, I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, without your grace, I won't complete my journey. So I'm asking you now for your mercy, your grace, God's favor to get me to the destination where I will be able to receive these words from my Father in heaven. Well done, faithful servant. And it will be said, because I have promised myself to walk in the election that He has given me. Now, when did He give it to you?
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world, you were ordained. In the giftings and callings that you were given. I've been studying for 3 or 4 weeks now. on that very subject. When all of the spirits were created, and Jesus was right there, he said, yes, he would be the Messiah. Scripture says he was crucified before the foundations of the world. So, where was your giftings and callings put in you? At that time, in that great meeting. Why is hell so bent on trying to get you to stop and fall under the anointing of fear? So that you'll never complete your journey. That's the intent of the enemy. That's the intent of the flesh, pulling you down. Oh well, I don't have enough degrees. I don't have enough education. Tell me something. If God said to you, you're to be an apostle, one that is sent to give out the good news, and you can't read and write. Oh my God, I can't go. Well, Peter had more faith than you, because at least he got up and he went. Because he couldn't read and write, but he could do what God ordained him to do. God took fishermen for a reason. They were day laborers and they were businessmen without an education. My earthly dad could not read or write, and neither could my mother. And yet they brought up 21 kids. So much for your education. My father ran a business. Actually, when you consider it, three businesses. He owned two farms, and he owned a slaughterhouse. He sold on the open market in Sherbrooke, which would have been similar to the marketplace in downtown Boston, if you've ever been there. It was an open market area, and I remember going there as a boy. Plus, he had a butcher shop where you could go and purchase meat. Every single weekend, they also had another place that they rented, plus sold wholesale. Try imagine doing that without being able to write any numbers down, because he couldn't. And remember all of these things, and whom he lent money to, whom he borrowed money from, which he didn't, he was really a lender. And he gave strict commissions to one of my half-brothers when he was getting older. He gave him a list of the people that owed him money. And I, from what I understand, it was quite a long list. And then at the end he said, and if these people that I've given you have a hard time because they're bringing up their family, you're never to ask them for money at any point. And never charge them any interest. Now the ones that are rich and can handle it, make sure that they pay back in full with interest. But the ones that are having a hard time, do not pick on them. And if they never pay you back, I never, never want you to ask them. That's a man who didn't have book knowledge. But he had a heart knowledge for those who had hard times. And when he died, there were many families that made sure that they were grateful to God for what this man had supplied them in meat. Because he had, and he gave according to his ability. And God never let his family go without food. Why am I saying to you this? Your qualifications are not because of your education. They're because of the giftings and callings that are in your spirit from the moment that you were created. Jeremiah chapter 1. You've been called to be a prophet to the nations. Peter, you've been called to be an apostle, not according to your degrees, but according to what I've already placed in you. And Peter said, But now he writes, therefore, my brothers, verse 10, be all the more eager to make your callings and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you what? Do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? That's all I got. It's all that you're going to get. Father, I thank you now for these that are listening on this internet situation or system. Bless and give them the courage to go forward with what they've just learned and not be afraid to be what they've been called and ordained to be. In Jesus' name. Share some hugs with each other.